My wish for you this Christmas is joy. My hope and prayer for you is that you might know a joy in your life which no one can take from you, that no experience can take from you in your life. It's Christmas Eve 2010, and I want to talk to you about joy. I know it's been a tough year for a lot of folks. In fact, it's still tough for a lot of folks, but I want to talk to you about joy tonight. And I've been thinking a lot about it, and I think I've figured it out. I think that I can guarantee these three things are components of joy anytime you experience it in your life. Three things: a person, an event, an experience. Those three things are always at the very center of your life whenever your life is touched by joy. You could do a little search right now. Just do a little brain search. Think back. When did you experience extreme joy in your life? Go. Go. What do you get? Image comes to mind. What is it? And I can almost guarantee that for every person in this room, there's going to be a person slash relationship. Or some event, something that took place in your life that just changed your world. It rocked your world and it brought joy to you. Or some experience, I mean, just something that happened. Person, event, experience. So I did a little search, you know, just to prepare my heart for the Christmas season. I thought, I better do a little search on this. And so I did a search, Google search, and I just typed in scenes of joy. I don't know why this came to me, but I thought, I better type in scenes of joy. Because it's joy to the world. You know, I'm like, okay, so what is that? Here's what came up on my Google search, top of the list. Scenes of joy. Celebration as minors are rescued. October 13th, 2010. Do you remember this? Down in Chile. There were 33 men who had been trapped 2,000 feet below ground for 69 days, and they were rescued on October 13th of this year. And it was a moment of great joy. I have a photo here, and it's a night scene. You know, they've set up lights. The lights are shining on the crowd. I see Chilean flags waving. I see people in crazy hats. I see smiles on faces, and it's exuberant joy taking place. Because these men who had been trapped 2,000 feet, count them, 2,000. I don't want to be 2 feet under the ground, let alone 2,000 feet, for 69 days. Okay, how long is that? That's way too long. And then they sent down this little pod, and they put them in one by one when they brought them up to the top. And it was extreme joy. It was exuberance. Okay? Here's the way it's described. It was the moment that sent a nation wild as the door of the rescue capsule opened and the first miner, freed, stepped out gingerly into the spotlight. Florencio Avalos emerged from his subterranean prison to cheers and chants of delight from rescuers and relatives who raced to hug the man they had not seen for 69 days. With the eyes of a world gripped by this incredible tale of human endurance, the 31-year-old bent down to cradle his son Byron, 8, who broke down in tears. Then he turned to his wife Monica and fell into her arms. How cool is that? Extreme joy. So I want you to go there with me for a minute. You're in the crowd. Your loved one has been trapped underground 2,000 feet in the dark for 69 days. And you're in the crowd and you're waiting. I mean, you're just waiting for them to come up. You're wondering, are they ever going to come out? Am I ever going to see them alive again? And then all of a sudden you see the tip of the little module come up and the door opens and there's your relative, the one that you love so much. and you run over and you hug them, and it's extreme joy. What an experience. What an event. But now I'm going to put you underground. Okay, I don't want to be there. I know you don't want to be there, but we're going there. Let's go underground. Let's go 2,000 feet deep in pitch dark. I had a really weird experience once in my life. I was over in Central Oregon. Have you ever been in the lava tube thing, the lava tunnel deal over there? Someone's like, hey, let's go down in the lava tube. Really? Okay, let's go down there. I don't like confined places. I don't like to be under the earth, and I don't like the dark. And, you know, so you take the lantern and you go down there and you're under the ground, you're in the lava tube and you're going along, and then our lamp went out. The guy up there is like, now whatever you do, don't let your lamp go out because it's not going to be good. It's not going to go well for you. Do you know how dark it is under the ground? I mean, do you know how pitch black it is down there? It was the strangest, strangest feeling. And I got to tell you one other thing. This happened to me. I didn't tell any other service. It's only you guys, the last service, you get to know this. I had one of the weirdest experiences of my life down there. Because I had matches in my pocket that I had brought just in case. So I reached into my pocket to grab the matches. And this is a true story. Somehow, when I grabbed the matches, I squeezed the match box thing and I ignited the match in my pocket. And seriously, so I'm in pitch black. I'm in a lava tube, okay? I'm under the ground. I don't like this. It's really bad. I don't know who talked me into doing this. And it's pitch black, and I'm freaked out, and I put my hand in, and I ignite the match in my pocket, and it burns a hole into my leg. And I, in that moment, had the weirdest experience because I was in pitch darkness, burning with the smell of sulfur. I'm serious. This happened to me. And being a pastor and all, I couldn't help but think. Anyway, back to Chile. So you're down there, and you're under the ground, and you're thinking, am I ever going to see my relatives again? I mean, really, like, if you were down there, what would you be thinking of, you know? You'd be thinking of people. You'd be thinking of relationships. You'd be like, oh, if I could just see them one more time. And then you get in the capsule and you come up and you come to the surface and there's your loved one there. And there you get to hug that loved one. And, you know, it's extreme joy. It's a person. It's this radical experience. It's just this like once in a lifetime event. And that's it, man. That's joy. Maybe you went back and you thought of a life experience that you had over this last year. On September the 3rd, our second grandchild was born, Ezra, our grandson, and it was so cool. What an event just to be there. It was much more of an event for my daughter than it was for me, of course, who was giving birth. But quite the event, and here's this little life. And how cool is it just to take that little life and to hold that person, but it's not just a person, it's a relationship, you know? It's like, I get to be grandpa. I have a grandson now, and I just get to hold him and just feel him kind of breathing there and look at him. And it's so, you know, isn't that cool? Isn't that joy? A person, this event, this experience. And now you know why the Christmas angels said what they said on Christmas morning. Here's what they said. Luke chapter 2, we read it earlier. I'm going to refresh your memory. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Here's what the angel said. I bring you good news. That's the gospel. The word gospel means good news. I bring you the gospel of great joy, extreme joy for all people. That's us. Okay? That's what the angel said. And now you know why. You know why? Because joy always has to do with a person / relationship, an event, and experience, and especially when those three all kind of meet together. And that's what happened here. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A person. Who is this person? Who is this Christmas person? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The one who was promised in the Old Testament scriptures. The one of whom the prophets spoke for hundreds of years. You can read about it. It's in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. This one who would be a Savior to save us from our sins. This Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the ultimate person. The Son of God born into this world. That is the majesty and the mystery of Christmas Day. And that's why the angel said, good news of great joy. It's about a person. And it's about an event. For unto you is born this day, this Savior. Now, you know, birth is always great. September 3rd, Ezra was born. It's awesome. But babies are born every day, a lot of them. But there's never been a birth like this one. This is the event. This is it. This is the center point of history. God coming into the world. What an event. And speaking of an experience, think about this. In verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The angel choir was singing. I love their response. It says in verse 15, when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, see, it's all in the tone of voice. Because do you think that if you saw an angelic choir appear in the air, singing glorious sounds that like you've never heard before, you're startled, you're a shepherd, you're in the field, and you see this angel choir, do you think that you would say, hey, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known? Or would you say, because see, I think Luke edited it a little bit. I think the first thing they said was, oh my gosh! I can't believe it. Let's go over to Bethlehem. And it says they left in haste and they ran down there. This was an experience, okay? It's beyond anything. Skydiving, bungee jumping, doesn't matter. Extreme sports. This was an experience. Their hearts were racing. Put it together. Person, event, experience. That's Christmas Day. That's Christmas. And in it is a promise to you. And that promise is joy. Now, if you're sharp, and I have a feeling you are because you've come to River West tonight. If you're a sharp person, you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, so I get it. There's just three factors. But you know, Pastor, the thing that's weird is that those three factors, the person, the event, the experience, are exactly the same three factors that bring sorrow into our lives. So how does this work? Because the greatest hurts in your life have come through a person / relationship. The hurts in your life have come through being disappointed in people. Hurt by people. The hurts in your life have come through those events too. Well, sure, there's great events in your life. You know, you got that job that you were hoping and praying for. You got, and it was joy. But hey, you lost the job. You know, how many people have lost jobs? And you go, well, yeah, that's an event. And you know what? That event really, that hurts. An experience in your life. How many people have had experiences in their life of loss or of injustice. All kinds of stuff. And you go, well, Pastor, all of those things bring hurt too. One of the things to me that's most precious about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it never, ever attempts to minimize the pain of this life, the hurt or the suffering of this life. It looks at it squarely in the face every time. And I appreciate that because that's the world we live in. Jesus himself spoke of the pain and the suffering and the sorrows of this life. He had a lot to say about it. And in the same breath, he spoke of joy. So let me take you to another passage. It's referring to another event. Here's one event, and that's Christmas. Now, this is in reference to another event, and it's in John chapter 16. And it goes like this. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:20, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Isn't that awesome? What's he talking about? He's talking about the resurrection. He's telling the disciples, you know, I have to go to the cross. That's why Jesus came into the world, to die for our sins on the cross. That's really what Christmas was all about. I like the expression, it says, from the cradle to the cross, it's the same wood. That's why he came into the world. And so he's telling them about the cross, and he says, it's going to hurt. You know, it's just going to hurt. But you will see me again, resurrection. And when you do, you will have a joy that no one can take from you. That's the joy of the gospel. That's what I wish for you. Talk about an event. Here's an event. Christ was born into this world on Christmas. Here's another event. Jesus Christ went to the cross, died for our sins, and rose again on the third day. That's why this verse is so beautiful. It's the fulfillment of what Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 20 in verse 19. It says, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side," of course, because the wounds of the crucifixion were still visible. And then it says the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And literally, it says they had extreme joy. Well, I guess so. I guess so. What an experience, you know? What a thrill to see the risen Lord show up after all the sorrow of the crucifixion, to see him. I mean, what an event. But hey, best of all, a relationship. Jesus walks in and says, "I'm here. I'm here. And I want to know you, and I want you to know me, and I want us to walk together." And now Jesus says, that's a joy that no one can take away. Let me just investigate one thing with you tonight. What is strong enough to carry you through the hurts of this life? Where will you find a source of joy that can't be taken from you? Now, people are going to disappoint you. Events are going to go good and bad in life, and the experiences, some will be great and some will be pretty bad. So through all of that, how will you have a joy that will never leave you? It's going to take something big to counterbalance the negatives. It's going to take something huge. That's why so often sort of the advice about joy, you know, sort of the pop joy advice, just seems so ridiculous to me. So I was poking around again, and I was looking for stuff about joy. Here's what I came across. Natural Health Magazine cover story, 50 Ways to Find Joy. When you're happy, you feel better, look better, and live longer. It sounds good to me. Here's how you can brighten your day. And they had a list of 50 things. Here's some of my favorite ones. Do the twist. This dance style is fun, silly, and easy, and it will make you laugh. Play Jeopardy. Watch a game show with your spouse, your kids, or your best friend. Yell out whatever answers come to mind. Laugh when you're right and laugh when you're wrong. That's what I do. I laugh when I'm wrong. Climb something. Find a tree, a monument, or the highest point in your town. Okay? Let's see what else. Throw a theme party. This one's great. Invite friends over for a blue dinner. Blue corn chips and salsa. Blue potato gratin and blueberry pie. I'm not making this up. This is what it says. Okay. Themes put guests at ease and are fun to plan. Are you feeling extreme joy? This one was my favorite. See the sun daily. Torn. The sun's rays may encourage your body to produce natural chemicals that induce joy. And then in parentheses, it says, not valid in Oregon or Washington State. No, I didn't actually say that. But that's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, man. Okay. All right. So that's good. I mean, you know, that's nice pop advice and everything. But really? Really? Because, you know, like, I'm a pastor, and I know people who are hurting. I know people who have had bad events in their life. I know people that have people, you know, others have let them down. I know people who have a lot of sorrow in their life, and good reason for it. And you're telling me that doing the twist and playing Jeopardy and climbing a monument in my town is going to help? Like, can't you do better than that? Come on. Do you see the beauty of the gospel of Christ? Jesus Christ, the ultimate person of all history. There's none like him. Jesus Christ, born into this world on Christmas, died on a cross, rose again. The ultimate events in all of history on your behalf. Jesus Christ, whom you can experience in your own life through faith in Christ, because he's alive and he's present. See, this is what you need. Now, in the list of 50 things in the Natural Health magazine, I have to admit there was one good one. And it said this. It said, no, that you are loved. And I thought, well, that's good. I like that one. That's way better than climbing a monument. Know that you are loved. But of course, it made me scratch my head and say, well, how will I know that? How will I know that? And who am I loved by? Because, you know, sometimes people may love us and then tomorrow they may not anymore. How will I know that I'm loved? How will I know that God loves me? And the gospel rings out with an answer and says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel tells you of God's love and proves it and demonstrates it with a person, Jesus, an event, his birth, death, resurrection, and an experience. You can know him. Now, this is gospel joy, and it does not make you immune from the hurts of life, but it gives you something greater than to anchor your life in. This Christmas, I'm going to offer that to you. More than that, you know what? I'm going to plead with you to anchor your life in Jesus. I mean, do this. Really do this. Because it's the only true thing that you can really count on in this life. And you can. I want to say a prayer right now. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the wonderful truth of the gospel. It's amazing, Lord. It's beautiful. And Lord, my prayer is that each one of us might know the joy that comes through Jesus. Lord, more than just a Christmas sentiment or the power of positive thinking or going out in the sun, but there might be something substantial in each of our lives that nothing can take away And so, Lord, help us each to know you personally. And as we're just taking a moment to pray, I want to invite you to just open your heart to Jesus here at Christmas time. He loves you. This is good news for you. He died and rose again for you. And I want you to thank him. You can talk to the Lord in your own heart. He can hear you if you just speak to him in your heart and your mind, because he knows your every thought. And you say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I thank you so much for the truth of the gospel that you came into this world on Christmas for me. I trust you, Lord, for your grace and forgiveness through your sacrifice on the cross, and Lord, new life through your resurrection. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, I pray for everyone in this room who's going through hard times, people who are hurting and sorrowful. I pray, Lord, that the joy of Christ might overshadow all of it for them this Christmas. I thank you, Lord, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.